The end of the article isn't the end of the story. The Journal podcast goes behind the scenes with reporters and covers everything from the Mormon Church's $100 billion fund to coronavirus. Listen to The Journal on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, July 20th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. In 2019, a team of researchers in the U.S. tracked some Russian officials as they visited the site of a suspected missile test, went to a spa in Cuba, or traveled all the way to Azerbaijan. These researchers were able to do that by using commercially available cell phone data, the kind of data that marketers use to target you with advertising. Our reporter Byron Tao will tell us more about how governments have been using this kind of data after these headlines. Disney is dramatically slashing its ad spending on Facebook, according to people familiar with the matter. Disney was Facebook's top U.S. advertiser for the first 6 months of this year. And the move comes as Facebook is dealing with a boycott from hundreds of companies. The companies argue that Facebook hasn't done enough to eliminate hate speech and divisive content on the platform. Facebook, for its part, has said that it invests billions of dollars in keeping its platform safe, but that it knows it has more work to do. That's not the only Facebook news. The Federal Trade Commission is considering taking sworn testimony from some of Facebook's top executives. The lineup would include CEO Mark Zuckerberg, as well as COO Sheryl Sandberg, and it would be part of the agency's antitrust probe into Facebook, according to people familiar with the matter. Our tech reporter Emily Glazer says this kind of deposition would be a shift from how the FTC has handled Facebook in the past.
Basically, the top executives were not deposed when the FTC had a previous investigation of Facebook for alleged consumer privacy violations. That matter actually resulted in a $5 billion record settlement about a year ago for the FTC. And interestingly, when the FTC officials announced that agreement, they said that they actually floated the possibility of deposing Mark Zuckerberg as one way of extracting a bigger settlement, so even more money from the company.
Facebook is one of a number of tech giants being investigated for these kinds of antitrust concerns. Later this month, several tech executives are scheduled to appear before Congress for a hearing on the subject. And over the weekend, Twitter released more details about last week's hacking incident. The company says the hackers targeted 130 accounts and reset passwords on 45 of them. That allowed them to send tweets, including the ones we saw that asked people to send money to cryptocurrency addresses. Twitter also said that the hackers downloaded personal data from some of those users. It's the first sign the perpetrators may have been up to more than just a Bitcoin scam. After the break, how researchers in Mississippi use cell phone data to track Russian officials. That's next.
Robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. The future is here. Listen to Tomorrow, Today, with The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything, the podcast that takes you to the front lines of science and tech and shows you what's coming next. Look ahead. What do you hear? The Future of Everything, from The Wall Street Journal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
When you download an app, whether it's a game, a run tracker, or even the weather, you might get a prompt asking you to let the app access your location. It's probably not news to you that if you say yes, the advertising industry then collects that location data from you, packages it up, and sells it. But you might not know that they're not just selling your data to marketers and other people who want you to buy stuff. People in the advertising industry are also selling it to the government. Our reporter Byron Tao has been looking into this, and he joins us now to explain. Byron, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you reported on a team of researchers in Mississippi. They used some of this location data to track a group of people in Russia. Where all did they trace them?
So this was part of an open source intelligence project paid for by the U.S. military. And these academic researchers were looking at drone test sites and other military facilities across Eastern Europe, including in Russia. And as part of this experiment, they were looking at where people present at these drone test sites or military bases were going. Were they traveling back to Moscow? Were they meeting with members of the Russian presidential administration or foreign officials? Simply, where were they going? And By tracing their cell phone movements, they were able to find out a lot. One person that they were tracking went on vacation to Cuba. Another person went to this sort of key geopolitical strategic region in Azerbaijan. Others went to other secure Russian military districts. You know, what we found was that it was pretty easy and pretty extraordinary to get a level of detail about the movement of these purportedly Russian military officials and or military civilians with access to military facilities and track them around the world.
So like you said, these guys were researchers. They were academics. They were not intelligence analysts. So what were they doing with this data?
So this data comes from a commercial vendor, a company called Babel Street, which is publicly in the business of monitoring social media. They offer a lot of services to local police departments and governments at all levels to monitor unfolding situations. But they also sell this little add-on called LocateX, which basically is a feed of data drawn from the advertising industry on millions, if not hundreds of millions, of cell phones. And these researchers partnered with Babel Street. They got some funding from the U.S. Army, and that's how they were able to pull this kind of data and do this kind of analysis.
And what exactly were they setting out to prove?
Well, they were trying to demonstrate to the Army the power and the usage of open source intelligence. So the kind of data that you can buy on the commercial market, stuff like cell phone data, but there's also all sorts of other data out there. So social media data, data from web forums, photos that people upload to social media sites, all of that has real legitimate intelligence value if you know where to look and what questions to ask. And so this project was part of an effort to show the military just how powerful this kind of data could be.
I think consumers have kind of a low-level understanding that whatever they do on their phones might be, you know, data is being collected about them, and they kind of see it as something that's probably just annoying. It's a way for, you know, advertisers and marketers to target us with hyper-specific advertising. How common is this other, more governmental use?
Well, we don't know the extent of it, but it does seem like, from my reporting, that this kind of acquisition of commercial data is of increasing interest to governments around the world, not just the American government, but others. And it raises real privacy considerations, right? Because when you consent to an app tracking you, you may have some understanding that marketers are looking at this data, but most consumers don't understand that the flow of data in this world, in this ecosystem, means that pretty much anyone can get it, from foreign intelligence services to their domestic political opponents to, you know, major intelligence agencies or law enforcement agencies. And so this data is all out there. You know, in some cases, it's quote unquote anonymous. It doesn't link to anyone's specific name. But your patterns in the world tell people a lot about you. And analysts can use movement data, for example, to figure out where a phone is at night. And that is a strong clue to where that person lives and can be cross-checked against property records. So all this raises a lot of interesting and unresolved privacy questions about just how much notice consumers have about what's happening to their data.
Is this legal?
You know, that's a good question. Courts really haven't grappled with these questions. In general, the government has taken the position that if consumers opt into tracking, by and large, the purchase of that kind of data is lawful. But we're really in a new frontier here, because courts really haven't had to consider exactly what it means to be carrying around a tracking device, a microphone, and a camera that could be turned on by adversaries or hackers or even foreign governments all the time. And so the privacy impacts of this are just beginning to be examined by lawyers, courts, privacy advocates, and governments.
What have these companies said about your reporting, about these partnerships with law enforcement?
Generally speaking, most of these companies, especially the ones that are selling cell phone data, are trying to operate below the radar. By and large, they have refused to discuss their products with me. In fact, Babel Street has a confidentiality clause in its standard license agreement that prevents the user from even disclosing the existence of their location data product. And so a lot of this is being done secretly, even as these companies are telling the government, don't worry, this is 100%, you know, consumer opt-in data. It's 100% publicly available. No issues here with privacy. And so that's a really interesting paradox that I found as I've gone about reporting this.
All right. Our reporter, Byron Tao, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that was your tech news briefing. We've got more tech stories on WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.